Chapter 16. John Barleycorn and Rosie. My phone tells me it has been 24 days since my last text from Claire. Charlie is about completed with detox. It is on the edge of deciding whether he will stay for substance abuse treatment or leave. He hopes that he reaches Claire. Charlie texts Claire again. Can we talk? Claire does not respond. So Charlie calls because he wants to hear her voice, even if he just gets her voicemail. As if sitting before a priest at confessional, Charlie starts imposing himself upon the unsuspecting answering recorder with a sad rant. I thought I could have just one more beer. Big mistake. The whiskey made me feel better. It made me feel less alone. Dad is gone, Claire. John is dead. Look, I started toward Ottawa, hoping to check out my old hometown ghosts and put them to rest. One thing led to another, and then I ended up in a ditch near Kansas City, Missouri. I spent the night in a gas station in the city of Independence in the pouring rain. Then I was arrested. I am so sorry. Please give me another chance, Claire. I woke up in detox with the memory that gives me hope. Please come visit me. I am supposed to go talk to an intake worker at the Addiction Treatment Center now. Guess I am stuck here for a while. I love you. Bye. After the phone call, Charlie went to his therapy session. His intake worker listened as Charlie began telling what happened. I can remember coming from Liza's house Friday night, really drunk. Mom confronted me, asking me if I had been drinking. I remember telling her, I sure hope not. I left in a hurry to get home. I laid there with the bed swirling around me when I realized it was not my home anymore. Claire had kicked me out. I was so pissed that I got up and started right in on the whiskey. That's it. That's all I can remember from the last 4 weeks because I blacked out and ended up in jail. The more I thought about Dad's death, the more I resented him. How had I ever expected to be a decent father when I never had one of my own? I thought I could drink one beer just to relax and think. That one beer turned into one more, and I became more and more upset, and my remedy was to keep drinking and taking pain medicine in order to feel better. That's what I did. Charlie started to tear up. I'm already at the point where I just cannot see myself sober, not drinking or using. Tears rolled down Charlie's face as he continued. It really started 8 weeks ago. I did the exact same thing with Claire. I had been able to keep it hidden from Mom. That did not work with Claire at all. An argument quickly led into a shouting match with Claire yelling at me to get out. I tried to call my brother, Robert, but he did not answer. I knew my mom would be on Claire's side, so I just waited it out. A week went by, and for a while, I was okay. Then all the resentments crept back in, a deep anger. I felt the need for a beer to calm myself. I was searching for some comfort, which never arrived. It baffles me that I am back in jail again. I really thought I would be fine. John Barleycorn is so seductive. As I am telling my story, depression over my dad is just so strong that I wish I was dead. How am I not dead? The way my car spun into that ditch full of water, and the water pouring into the cracked windshield, that should have drowned me. If I was dead, it would all stop. If not physically dead, then at least dead to this deep rage and endless shame. I was driving, wasted, and my mind started traveling through all of my life problems. Like when Claire walked out and took our Emma. What that said to Charlie with that words was, shame on you. You were a terrible father. I would guess you therapy people would call that my trigger. I was left alone. It was just me and Jack Daniels. All I wanted was to talk to Claire. Then Joe came home. Claire's father is a recovering addict who thinks he's a better dad than I am. I just pushed him to the side so I could get the hell away from him. Then he went and pressed assault charges against me. The intake worker responded with, Are you sure there was not more to the assault? Charlie replied. With Claire and Emma gone, I felt like I did not have anything left to live for. The resentment and the anger were all self-consuming. Kept thinking about my dad. On my drive, I was brought back to reality when I saw those glaring headlights and heard the blare of that horn. I quickly swerved back into my own lane. I was so hungry and so tired. I knew I needed to find a place to sleep. I struggled to read the road signs. As I drove toward the bright lights of the city, the rain glaring off the cracked windshield. All the road exchanges were confusing. Lost and tired, I just wanted to find a quick place to stop. I took that cloverleaf thinking I would get gas and food and clear my head. When I turned the wheel to take that exit, I just kept going and going, around and around in a circle. The car went sliding out of control in the rain. It was spinning all over that clover leaf. I thought it would never stop. As the car continued spinning, I felt a fluttering around my head. Spinning, turning, the car finally came to a stop with a loud thud, and that is when the cracked windshield gave way and all that water burst in. Protective fluttering around my head continued while the car began to sink. That is when I realized I was going to die. The thought flashed in my head. I am dead. Out of the black darkness, I noticed the outline of a large animal swimming toward me. As suddenly as dread had come, the dread left and was replaced by a profound sense of peace. I found footing in the water. Eventually, I was able to just follow the animal back to shore. The animal was a Labrador dog. Had I known what was going to happen next, I surely would have paid more attention. I felt a sense of peace, like a cool, chilled rain. I looked, I saw. I hugged my warm angel. I hugged her tight to me as I then replayed the accident over in my head. The Big Book promises that our God will do for us when we cannot do for ourselves. The dog's name tag read Rosie, but in my heart the tag read Zoe. My own personal angel, sent back to keep me safe. Zoe, my guardian, my protector and hero. Her death still haunted my childhood memories. Looking around, I saw the lights of the gas station and I started walking towards them. Out of the black, cold rain, I walked with my childhood dog Zoe at my side. What a beautiful chocolate lab she was. Manny, the gas station clerk, was shouting to get my attention. I asked him to help me get my car out of the ditch, but he said he could not right now, maybe in the morning. He must have thought that I needed to sit there and rest. There we were, just the dog and me, hungry, tired, and alone. No, wait, not alone. We had each other. In the back of my mind, I know that when my car started to turn, I was in a place of surrender. I let go of the wheel because I had no control as the car spun and turned, ultimately landing in the ditch. I know I surrendered in that very moment. I had lost control of not only my car, my entire life. My whole life was one huge mess. I was a huge mess. Thank God the gas station attendant refused to help me get my car out that night, because I would be dead. Thank God they recognized what I could not, that I was at my end. I was saved by Rosie and Manny. They saved me. Seems so unreal now. The intake worker began to speak. According to the police report, Charlie, the gas station clerk thought you were on drugs and called the police. There is a description of you walking up to each semi-truck in the parking lot, making the sign of a cross on each one. One by one, as if you were blessing them. They reported that you did this for an hour and a half to every semi in the lot. That is over 30 trucks. Charlie, I have spoken with the officer on duty that night and read the police report. Let me read to you from the transcript, which starts with a phone call to the Independence Police Department. Quote, this is Manny at the Quick Trip truck stop at the junction of 470 and I-70 north of town. Is Officer Kelly on duty this morning? Could you ask him to swing by for his morning coffee? I have something I need him to take a look at. Officer Kelly relayed in his report and direct quotes from the attendant. It's the dangdest thing I ever saw. It was like a wall of water coming down. It was hitting so hard, Officer Kelly. Out of the rain, here comes this soaking wet man and a dog, both just dripping wet and throwing water to and fro. I wanted to tell them both to get back outside. That's what I wanted to do. The dog was shaking and throwing water everywhere. Then the guy starts hugging the dog and just wouldn't let go. I've never seen anything like it. This guy was hanging on to this dog like it was his lifeline. Like he thought without the dog, he was a goner. No, wait a second. Listen to the rest of this. The wall of water finally comes to a halt and the dog laid down. The guy got up and walked outside. See those diesel out there? There were 30 of them at the time. He walked to the front of each of those trucks and crossed it like he was a priest or something. I watched him do it. I was afraid he might hurt somebody or himself. Seriously, he crossed everyone like a priest. Then he turned around and walked back over here and laid down by his dog. Ever so quietly, Manny said, "Where do you see him with that dog?" "When I saw your car coming, I told him to get in the bathroom and clean up. Just wait." Charlie came out of the restroom and said, "My name's Charlie. What did you say your name was?" "Officer Kelly." "And you want to see my ID?" "Yes." "It's wet, but it's right here." "Charlie, I see you live south of here. What brings you this way?" "I was traveling home, sir." "I see that you're not driving now. Was anyone with you?" "No, sir. I was alone." Wait. I had a dog with me. My dog, Rosie." "Okay. And where are you and Rosie headed to now?"
"We're headed south, officer. I've had some problems, and I was just headed south, trying to get them sorted out in my head."
"Is that your car in the ditch that I saw as I came around the cloverleaf?"
"Yes, sir."
So there I was, talking to an officer about what happened, and him asking me about the dog and the wreck, about the water-filled ditch and the broken windshield, about my car, which was now completely submerged.
"Well, Rosie, I know they have no answers for the spinning of the car or the fluttering around my head. They can't explain you swimming to me or for helping me out of the ditch. No one claimed you, and no one wanted me."
When the intake worker stopped talking, Charlie declared, "I don't even know what you are talking about. I think they called the police on both of us. I don't see why they'd have called them on me, but the police did come. They came and they hauled us both off, her and me. I told them the dog was mine, but honestly, I really have no idea where she came from. Rosie went with the animal control officer and I went to jail. I don't know what type of place they took her to, but mine was awful and I was really sick. If it hadn't been for that ditch, I would never have met Rosie, traveling in a busted-up car with a broken windshield, possibly to my death. If that car hadn't landed in that ditch, I would have just kept driving into something else or someone else. I sure as hell wouldn't have been in this evaluation, we both know that. Again, I must confront the question. Am I an addict?